This is week 3, class 1, True Intercession. And we're on page 6 of the syllabus. And just a little bit of review to kind of kick us off into tonight. We finished off last time talking about how important it is to pray in the Spirit and how that there is intercession that takes place. Intercession for you and intercession for others. The Holy Spirit will pray for you through you, and the Holy Spirit will pray for others through you. And what is accomplished through praying in tongues will not be accomplished if you don't pray in tongues. And I do want to encourage you along this line because, you know, when you make a decision to start praying in the Spirit, it's like Jesus warned. Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. Well, when God's word is sown into you about praying in the Spirit and you make this decision, yes, praise God, I'm going to do it. And you start to do it, eventually you're going to come to a place where you don't want to do it anymore. You're going to feel like, well, it's not accomplishing anything. But again, keep in mind that all of the accomplishing, all of the results take place in the realm of the Spirit before they manifest in the realm of the natural. So you are accomplishing things, even though you may not see the results immediately, and even though you may not feel like you're getting results immediately. Now let's talk about how true intercession works. And one of the first things that is very important to keep in mind is that you cannot violate a person's will. And there are so many Christians, I've seen them and heard them pray, it's almost as though they believe they have the ability to control others through intercession. And that if they intercede enough for a person, then that person is going to lose the capacity to keep saying no or to keep saying yes. And they're going to turn the other way and they'll say no or they'll say yes, you know, whatever it is being prayed about. And you can't do that. You can't control the will of another person. It doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how much you intercede. Doesn't matter how many times that you call their name out before God, you cannot control the will of another person. And I know that in many camps, people take issue with this because they are firmly convinced that they have changed the other person's mind. No, you can't do that. If that was going to happen, couldn't we just about get anybody born again? I mean, all we'd have to do is control them enough to make them get born again. We can't do that. So, and plus the very fact that God doesn't do that should be evidence enough, you know, that we can't. We've talked about this before. And so when it comes to intercession, you cannot change the will of another person. You cannot control another person. Likewise, your intercession doesn't control God. He's already made clear to us what He will and won't do. And you're not going to make Him do something that goes against His nature and His character, no matter how much you intercede, no matter how much you implore Him to move. You're not going to control God. Now, intercession really can be viewed as helping to establish God's will. Somebody might ask, well, what do you mean by helping to establish God's will? Well, in the Word, God has declared His will. All you have to do is read the Bible. And again, it's becoming increasingly amazing to me how many Christians honestly do not know what God's will is. They understand some basics, some fundamentals, but when it comes to understanding the depths of God's will, they don't understand. If you don't understand His Word, you don't understand His will. If you don't understand His will, you don't understand His Word. Very simple. And amazingly, there are, maybe it's not amazing, I don't know, I guess it all goes back to how we've been taught in the past, but there are so many Christians, and maybe we all here tonight have been included in this, but so many Christians who have been taught to combine Old Testament principles with New Testament lifestyle. And they'll go back and they'll take something out of the Old Testament and try and make it apply to the New Testament, when the thing they're referring to in the Old Testament was governed by the law. Well, it doesn't work that way. And, it's amazing how many times that people will, here's an example. You know, and we've talked about this in courses in the past. When it comes to aspects of the law as far as the feast days and festivals and so forth. And do you know, you may be aware of this, but do you know that there are people out there that preach and teach that you must be born again, but they also preach and teach that if you go to church on any other day but Saturday, you're going to hell. There is a man. He's buying billboard space. And he's putting up billboards that say, if you go to church any other day but Saturday, you're going to hell. There are pamphlets out there. There are books out there. All this kind of stuff. This is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. And it puts people under condemnation that it shouldn't be like that. Well, if we take that and apply it to intercession, then here's how we would intercede. Oh God, I don't want Bobby or Susie going to hell. Please help them understand they can't go to church on Sunday. They have to go to church on Saturday. See what I'm saying? God won't work in that because that doesn't fit into His will. See, the reason somebody would teach that is because they don't understand what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath under the law was a type and shadow of what Christ would do for us on the cross. And once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we enter into the rest that the Sabbath day, Saturday, was a type and shadow of. So therefore, once we've entered into that spiritual rest, we no longer need the natural day to govern what we're doing. Well, if you don't know, you don't understand, if you don't come to the conclusion of what Christ has done for you and understand what God's Word has to say about this, it is true. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy? That's in the Bible. Absolutely in the Bible. And don't pick up sticks and all this other, and you know, no labor on the Sabbath. That's in the Bible. No doubt about that. But if you don't understand what it was talking about relative to what Jesus did, then you will continue to try to make that a form of doctrine. Well, you can't combine the two. It's impossible to do that. And when you get into the Word of God, you begin to find out what His will is from beginning to end. And again, this kind of goes back to what we were covering in the course on how to study the Word of God, when we explained how that you can't take verses out of context, you can't take passages out of context, and really you can't take books out of context. You can't take Exodus and say it governs the body of Christ. You have to find out how Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, I mean all those things in there talk about the law, you have to find out how they fit into the overall scheme of things. Because remember, that whole concept of the law, God never intended for that to be the permanent governing of man. If He did mean it to be that way, He would have established it with Adam back there in the Garden of Eden. He would have said, now Adam, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, the law didn't come into existence until after the sin nature had been released into humanity. And then, you know, Paul writes about how that we're dead to the law through the body of Christ and so forth. But when it comes to the will of God, it's in His Word. And when you're familiar and you know how His Word fits together and His will fits together from Genesis to Revelation, you begin to understand how to make intercession for people. You're making intercession according to what God has established. Think of it like this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. True intercession is intercession that is made in line with the law of the Spirit of life. But if you make intercession according to the law of sin and death, it's intercession that can't be honored. It's intercession that God can't be a part of. In the Bible, God has declared His will that salvation is for everybody. There are no exceptions. You know, you go all through history, you see terrorists, and what really amazes me is how people can stand up and profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but then talk about how they wish certain people would be killed. I mean, you really can't do that and maintain your testimony. Okay, to bring it home. You can't maintain the testimony of Christ and talk about how you wish all the Muslims were killed. That doesn't work. Jesus Christ died for everyone. And God's will concerning salvation, not just born again, but salvation, which is everything including born again. Salvation is being born again, and it's the fullness of our inheritance through Jesus Christ. God's will is salvation for everyone. But even if you don't know about your inheritance, if you just know about born again. I mean, that's a part of salvation. That's where it starts. And so God's will is born again for every person. That's what He wants. But you and I know that not everybody responds to that aspect of God's will. In His will, in His Word, He has declared that there are intangibles available to us. Intangibles would be things like finances, peace, direction, so on. Just, you know, things you can't see, feel, and touch. Somebody might say, well, I can see, feel, and touch money. Not if it's in your bank account, you can't. You can see, feel, and touch that little plastic card, but you're not touching money. It represents money, but you're not touching money. You get a statement from the bank, it represents money, but that's not money. So, and quite frankly, even the money you have in your hand, for all intents and purposes nowadays, it's an intangible. I mean, it's a piece of paper that's supposed to represent something. Do you know how many millions of dollars the printing presses are turning out at the Treasury Department? I mean, all these new bills that they... Go on the internet sometime and just start looking up things about how the Treasury Department prints money. It is staggering how much money they continue to... They print it to meet demand. Let that sink in. They print it to meet demand. Not if it's supported. They print it to meet demand. You say, how do you know that? Look it up. Go out there on the internet and look up the government sites. Look up these things. They print the money to meet demand. So let's say there's only a, you know, for the sake of speaking here, only $1 billion worth of value in this country. So that means there should only be $1 billion worth of cash floating in this country. You and I both know they print. So if there's a demand for $2 billion worth of cash, they're going to print an extra $1 billion worth of cash to meet the demand. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Well, anyway, finances, that's an intangible. But God also has provision for tangibles, such as healing, houses, buildings for a ministry, you know, anything that is material, things you can, you know, see and touch and feel and so forth. When you go through the Word of God, He has declared in His Word both salvation, both, all three, salvation, the tangible, and the intangible. All of those have been provided for us according to His will. Now, again, let's try to think from God's perspective. And you know, I would pass that along to you as a maybe like a thing to do. When you're trying to understand things, try to sit in the seat of God and look at it through His eyes to see what He has declared for us. Because I think sometimes that can help us to get a better understanding of what His will is. So here's God. He says, boy, I'm going to create everything perfect. And He did. Man blows it. And He says, boy, man blew it, and he blew it so bad, he can't even get it restored. I'm going to have to restore it for him. So I'm going to work out this plan. My son, slain from the foundation of the world, etc. and so on. Jesus comes, completes the work. Now restoration has been set in motion. Restoration is not complete. You say, well, how do you know that? Go to the end of the Bible, new heaven and new earth, okay? Restoration has been set in motion, but it's not complete. Your restoration is not complete. You may be born again, but you're not yet glorified. So your restoration has been set in motion. So all this thing has been, you know, it's set in motion. And God has said, now, here's what I'm going to do. I want everybody to know about being born again. And the only way that they're really going to understand this is if born again people somehow let them know. So along with the fact that they're born again, I'm going to use them to represent me on the earth. My life, my nature in them, and if they'll receive Him, the Holy Spirit, then I can start working through them. I'll work through them as much as they'll let me, so that I, through them, can accomplish my will. Accomplishing my will means some people are going to have to go over here and preach from town to town, to city, to country. And other people are going to have to go over here and they're going to have to start churches. And other people are going to have to be teaching and discipling. And other people are going to have to do this. And because that's what I would do if I were down there. So I have my kingdom. They are a part of my kingdom. I'm working through them on earth to accomplish my will that is in my kingdom. In order for this to happen, I need them healthy in body. They're born again in spirit, but I need them healthy in body. I also need them to have all the buildings, supplies, furnishings, equipment, and finances necessary to accomplish what I would do through them, or what to accomplish through them what I would do if I were down there in my own body. So my promise to them is this: I will meet all of their need according to my riches and glory by my Son Jesus Christ. So now see, all of these kind of things, we could go on with this, but all of these kinds of things are our inheritance based upon His will. This is where some people confuse it. It's like God's up there and we're down here. I will establish a ministry to serve God and reach the lost. God says, well, that's a very noble intent, and I appreciate your heart, but you've got it backwards. I will establish a ministry through you to reach the lost. Now, you can start a ministry. You can do it on your own, and you will have a degree of success. But if you let me establish it through you, it will be the perfect ministry according to my perfect will, and it will be carried out and accomplished perfectly, because it will be me doing it through you. And not only that, you're doing it on your own. You're going to kind of be on your own to get it all done. But if you let me do it through you, that's when I'm able to start meeting all the need. No matter what it is, I can start meeting all the need. Because if I'm going to accomplish through you what I need to accomplish, I have to supply all of your need. You can't do it yourself. You don't know how. Well, at least that's God's perspective. Here on earth, we think we know how. So we set about doing what we think is best to see to it that everything is accumulated that is necessary. But yet, from God's perspective, He's already declared, this is my will, and here are my promises. Here's my guarantee to you through my Son. Now, if you'll do this right and let me work through you, this is all going to work out. As long as you don't let other people in other ministries be the measuring stick for what you're doing, you will see yourself as being a success. Boy, is that a challenge? To stop looking at other people, to stop looking at other ministries and saying, but look what they're doing. God says, hey, no, I want you to look at what I'm doing and what I want to do through you. Okay, now, when it comes to intercession, again, His will is declared in His Word, and intercession can be viewed as helping to establish God's will, no matter what that will would be, helping to establish His will. Now, if His will is not manifesting, something's in the way. That is so simple. But if His will is not manifesting, something is hindering it. And the problem is, too many times, we don't want to accept the fact that maybe we're the ones hindering it. Maybe God's wanting to do this, but we're wanting to do that. But regardless of what it would be, if His will is not being accomplished, something is hindering it. Let me ask you a question. Was God's will working through Jesus? When Jesus was here on the earth doing the will of the Father, remember He said, I didn't come to do my, but you know, His will, His works. Was it ever hindered? Yeah. Oh yeah. One major example. In His own hometown. Remember that? He could do no great mighty works, you know, because of their unbelief. God's will was for Him to do those things. Was it not? But He couldn't, because those people put up a barrier to what God was trying to... Now, it does say He healed a few sick folk. But those people put up a barrier to what He could do. He did His part. And He accomplished the will of the Father by doing His part. But the will of the Father was not accomplished in the lives of the people, because they're the ones that put up the barrier. So here comes Jesus. He shows up in His hometown, and He's there to do these works. And He says, Father, I'm here. This is where You sent me. This is the part of the journey for this week or this month or this day or whatever. I'm here. And those people, they would have nothing to do with it. So, yeah, the Father's will was accomplished as far as Jesus being obedient to do what the Father wanted. But as far as the Father's will being fulfilled in the lives of those people, it wasn't, because that barrier was put up. Now, in other places, that wasn't the case. More than once in the Bible, it talks about how people came to Him and He healed them all. Man, I like that. And I am looking forward to the day when we have that kind of a testimony. Not, you know, greatness on our part, but greatness on the Christ working through us. They came to our church, and God, through the people, healed them all. Praise the Lord. That is exciting. Well, anyway, intercession helps to remove the barriers. So no matter what this barrier is, you can give it any kind of a name you want. It doesn't matter. Intercession helps to remove the barriers. Now, intercession is more declaration than continual asking. And again, this is a major error that many Christians make. They believe that intercession consists of continually asking God to do something. Oh God, do. Oh God, reach down. Oh God, do. And, you know, I've heard the stories of people, and I firsthand, you know, heard this to a little extent, of people really becoming very emotional in their praying to God. How can I put this? Okay, a son that's lost, running the bars and chasing the women and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, there's the praying mama. Oh, God, you've just got to reach down and touch him. And she's not trying to pray incorrectly. The cry of her heart is for her son. And she would spend, you know, hours, oh, please, Jesus, reach down and touch Johnny. Please, Jesus, reach down and touch Susie. Oh, God, please save him. Oh, God, please. Tears running down her face. And her voice, you know, she's crying as loud as she can out to God. And she is sincere. But she is continually asking God to do something that God has already declared He wants to do. See, that's the thing about it. So many times we ask God to do something that He has said He wants to do. Okay? And when we begin to understand that times of intercession that are consumed with nothing but continual asking, I mean, I don't want to say don't be in the presence of God and pray, but at the same time, there are better ways that you could use that time. If you're going to spend that time in praying and interceding on behalf of a lost one, do it right. And you're going to get better results. Okay, keeping in mind now that you cannot control the will of another person. But it's not just about, you know, somebody getting saved. It's about, you know, healing, manifesting, or whatever it would be. Finances that you need, it doesn't matter. It's intercession for whatever it would be. And if you notice here in your outline, it says, you know, far too many Christians ask God to do what He expects us to declare. We're asking God to do what He expects us to declare. Now, think back to what we've already covered in this course concerning the sovereignty of God. And that's going to answer any questions, a lot of them, that you might have concerning this statement. But a lot of Christians continually ask God to do what He expects us to declare. They continually ask Him to establish His will. But His will has already been established in His Word. So therefore, if I keep asking God to do something, but He's already said in His Word, what if I said, you know, kind of a natural example, you write a letter to somebody and you tell them, I'll be there June 1st. And what if they started calling you every day and say, please, 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 I want you to make plans to come and see me. Please make plans to come and see me. Please make plans. And you ask them, well, didn't you get my letter? Oh, yeah, I got your letter. Well, did you read in the letter it says I'll be there June 1st? Oh, yeah, I read that. Well, okay then. You know I'll be there June 1st. Yeah, please make plans to come and visit. Please make plans to come. Can you see this? How silly that would be? Well, okay, now here's God. He's given us this big letter. If we keep asking Him to do what He's already said in here He'll do, then doesn't it stand to reason that He might start thinking we don't know what He really means? Well, of course, I mean, He would anyway, being God, He's going to know. But you understand what I'm saying in this. Now, when it comes to this, it's more important to declare His will than it is to ask Him to do something He's already said is His will. Here's where a lot of folks criticize. Oh, I get it. Name it and claim it. No, no. I mean, if it makes you happy to put that kind of label on it, go ahead and do it. But this is all about declaring God's Word. I can name and claim something. If it's not God's will, forget it. But if I name it and claim it because it's God's will, how am I doing it amiss? How am I doing something wrong? Didn't we all name and claim getting born again? Didn't we? And did it happen? Mm-hmm. Didn't we all name and claim getting filled with the Holy Spirit? Uh-huh. Did it happen? Uh-huh. So you see, when it's according to God's will, it does work. Look in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. Some of the verses I'm going to give you tonight aren't in your outline. But you can write them down. Isaiah chapter 7, and there's one piece of this verse I want you to look at. Well, yeah, kind of like that. Okay, what's happened is this. Isaiah is giving a word to King Ahaz. And we pick this story up in verse 9. It says, "And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established." Now that's the part that we want to get into right there. That last, "if you will not believe, surely you will not be established." So in other words, Ahaz is hearing the word through Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah the prophet says, look, if you won't believe, then you won't be established. Okay? Now, how many of us want to see healing established in our bodies? Well, we all do. How many of us want to see our needs met in our lives? Well, we all do. But if you will not believe, you will not be established. So therefore, if I don't believe God's Word, then I won't be established in God's Word. When it comes to intercession, if I do not believe the will of God, then I will intercede in a way that is contrary to the will of God. Oh, God, save Johnny. Oh, God, save Johnny. Oh, God, save Johnny. That is contrary to the will of God. Salvation has already been made available to Johnny. God is not going to save Johnny if Johnny doesn't want to be saved. Asking God, oh, God, save Johnny, what you're saying is, oh, God, I do not believe your word that man has a will of his own. I am asking you to violate your sovereign declaration of man's will and save Johnny. And God says, hey, I can't do that. My word is established. And I'm not going to violate my word. My will is for Johnny to be saved. I want him to accept my son Jesus Christ. But the problem's not on my end. The problem's down there. Something is interfering with Johnny wanting to be saved. So the prayer shouldn't be God save. The prayer should be directed toward tearing down the barriers that are keeping Johnny from accepting Jesus. You see what I'm saying? That's going to become more clear as we go further along in this. But like it says here, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. So if I don't believe God's will, I don't intercede according to God's will. And if I don't intercede according to God's will, then the thing I'm interceding about, it's not going to be established. Look over in Psalm 119. This is a verse we looked at, I don't remember if it was last week or week before. But in verse 89, Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." In other words, that's it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And look. Matthew chapter 6. Take a look at verse 10. Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So what are we asking? We are asking for God's word to be settled in earth as it's settled in heaven. In other words, his word is not going to be violated in heaven. Another way to look at this is, his word is not going to be changed in heaven. Therefore, whatever God has declared exists forever in heaven. Jesus prays, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a prayer that applies to all of us in the body of Christ. It's something that we can pray, and I do this many times when I'm praying. I declare, Father, thy will be done on earth in this ministry, as you've already planned it out in heaven. Because God's already got a plan up in heaven. You know, if you think in natural terms, let's say that he has, you know, he's got a computer in heaven, and it has, you know, 50 bazillion terabytes of memory, or, you know, a hard drive. It's a hard drive the size of this building, whatever. So he's up in heaven, and he's got a CD-ROM, or, you know, a DVD, and on this thing is written out the plan for Grace Ministries Bible College, okay? Now, this is a CDR. In other words, once it's written, you can't go back and erase it and write over it again. That means it's established forever. And so I say, oh God, what's your will? He pops in that DVD and punches up and he says, ah, okay, my will for you is, and he tells me his will. Well, it's settled up in heaven. It's not going to be erased. It's not going to be changed. So my prayer is, Father, thy will for Grace Ministries Bible College be established on earth as it's already established in heaven. So am I praying amiss? Absolutely not. I'm saying, look, I don't understand the fullness of your will for the Bible College. Some people do. I mean, some people know the fullness. You know, anybody that tells you they know the fullness of God's will for their ministry, they're wrong. You say, well, how do you mean that? Well, because unless you're standing in heaven or something, there's no way you can know. That's because God gives you what you need to know now, and that knowledge can expand as time goes on. The information that He gives you, you know, He gives you maybe the information of His will for the next 2 years. Well, sometime during that 2 years, you've got to find out what comes up for year three. You see what I'm saying? So I say, Father, your will be established for Grace Ministries Bible College as you've already laid it out and planned it out up in heaven. So that means I'm saying, God, look, you know better than I do. I want this thing done. And the same thing applies to, this whole concept right here, what I'm just sharing with you, this is a perfect way to intercede, or one of the many perfect ways to intercede on behalf of a lost loved one. Father, your will be accomplished in Johnny's life here on earth as you've already planned it out in heaven. Now, God is not going to change Johnny's will, but as we get further in this, you'll understand how this can impact Johnny, how this kind of this intercession can impact Johnny. God has given us an example in His Word, in Genesis. And you don't have to turn to it, but over in Genesis chapter 1, it's the story of creation. And what happened, God was in heaven, and He decides He wants a natural creation. He wants this universe. It didn't exist before. Which, you know, you sit and think about this. A universe this big came into existence where there previously had been no space for it. I mean, it didn't exist. Then all of a sudden it exists. You know, well, it's kind of like, you know, if I were standing here in this room and this room were considered eternity, and then I blew up a balloon, that balloon would represent the universe. It exists, but it didn't a little bit ago. You see what I'm saying? So here God, He decides He wants this universe, He wants the natural creation, so on and so forth. When you go back and you read in Genesis, it was His will for natural creation to exist. However, He didn't ask for it to happen. He declared it to happen. Okay, now, where was His will? With Him in heaven. Where did He want it to manifest? Somewhere that where there was nothing, there was no place for it to manifest. I don't know. I think about these kind of things, and it just He created a universe, but there was nothing there before. So anyhow, so He declared. Who would He ask anyway? His will was contained in Him. He wanted it to manifest. He didn't ask. He didn't say, "O universe, would you please come into existence?" He says, "You know, light be, and planets be, and animals be, and you know the story." He declared it, and the Bible says, "And it was," and God saw, you know, that it was good, and all these things happened because He declared His will. He spoke it forth. And when it comes to us seeing His will happen, we have to begin to understand, to follow the pattern of what we see in Scripture. The same kind of things repeated in the life of Jesus. Where, yeah, we see where Jesus prayed to the Father, but we see when it comes to the will of the Father being manifest here on earth, Jesus declared it. Jesus spoke it. Be healed. Receive thy sight. You know, whatever it would be. He spoke it. He declared the will of the Father. When it comes to our intercession on behalf of people, declaration is much more important than asking. If you spend more time declaring instead of asking and declaring God's will and God's word, then you're going to begin to see more of God's results take place in the thing, whatever it would be. You're going to begin to see those things start to come to pass, start to happen. All right, listen, let's go ahead and take a break for a few minutes, and we'll go ahead and pick up at this point after the break.